And so today we're not talking about the rest is history. We're talking about the rest is Jesus, and the rest with a capital R, right? The rest, not a rest, the rest, that we need, the rest that is necessary, the rest that changes everything is what we're talking about here today. So we go back to our opening scripture. This is where we're focused today in Matthew chapter 11. And let's read it again. And as we read it, can I ask us just think about what you think Jesus is offering and what is necessary to receive what he is offering. So what is he offering? And what is necessary to receive what he is offering, this rest. So he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And I, Jesus says, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let's investigate this promise and teaching of Jesus together. And first of all, I'm asking you the question, when do you feel most at rest? Like if you were to describe what was happening, when you really felt, I'm at rest. What's that like for you? When is that for you? When are you most at rest? What do you think? Mm-hmm. Neil?
To give the obvious answer, we're on the street.
When you're asleep, yes, except that you don't feel it when you're asleep, right? So, yes, Bruce.
When I've just actually done something that requires a lot of exercise or exertion, and I've finished that thing, I feel it.
When you finish something really that involves your body and you've exercised or you've expended.
Or being like an exam.
Or an exam, when you finished it, completed it. Ah, that sense of completion. That often is a kind of a restful feeling, isn't it? Completion.
Well, I finished the DIY project.
Finish the DIY project. When it's done.
Yeah.
And you can look at it. I've done it. And you feel completion. You feel rest. Yeah. Ben?
I think when I consciously connect with nature.
Consciously connecting with nature?
Yeah.
Consciously connecting. Not just being in nature, but being aware of it. Connecting, yeah.
Brief moment after the exams to go.
That brief moment when an exam is finished and you're like, it's done. And whether you feel good about it or bad about it, still it's done. Okay. That moment of rest. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
Every night, no matter what day would happen, we would just like lay on the sofa and watch a TV show.
Right.
That's where we feel like most at rest.
Right, laying on the sofa after the end of a long day, watching a TV show. Yeah, just, you know, relaxed, right? Feeling at rest. Any more? Yeah?
I don't have to do any housework. Take care of children, and I need time to watch TV.
Okay, no housework, nothing to do with the children. Raymond's taking care of everything. There was another one in the back somewhere, yes.
You don't have music or on the beach?
On the beach?
On the beach.
You saw the place playing?
On the beach.
Oh.
On the beach. The waves coming in, that sound of on the seashore, that's very restful.
The sun is beautiful.
And the sun is coming down, and you just feel that warmth on your skin. Isn't that a restful feeling? Oh, we all want to get on a plane and go on holiday right now, don't we, to somewhere warm. I know. Yeah, the back.
Before when I was young, in back room, I used to go to the farm with my parents. So sometimes I carry food in my head. So because it's heavy, sometimes I cry. So when I get home and I take it out, I feel rest.
Wow. And where was home?
After.
Where is home?
When I was young, I was in Ghana.
In Ghana. Okay.
So when I tell it is, I go home and I go and move it down. I feel rest.
Right. So when you're carrying heavy food, heavy on your head,
yes.
And you take it off, you put it down, and then you feel, oh,
rest.
I'm at rest. I've never done that, but I can imagine what that would be like. Yes.
I just asked what you were saying, Jack. So I didn't ask you, okay, to have it. That
really is taking the burden off. Taking the burden off. It is. It's taking the burden off. Yeah. Isn't it? Oh, you want more?
Yeah. Then I was back in Jamaica and the silicon was going there. Let's get what? You can't get
water?
Yeah, you can't do that. But it's far, very far.
Right.
No shoes.
No shoes.
Yes, oh, no. When you get back home, I'll put these bruises.
Bruises on your feet. From walking, carrying the heavy water.
Yeah,
wow.
Jamaica.
From Jamaica.
Yeah, from the river.
From the river. Water from the river in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Carrying it barefoot. My word. That's, yeah, I can imagine putting that down. That would feel like a relief, wouldn't it? Isn't that, I mean, we don't like the feeling of the burden. We don't like the feeling of the walking like that or with perhaps with a heavy burden on your head. We don't like that feeling, but we do love the relief and the rest that comes afterwards. And Jesus says he's promising us a rest. You and I need rest. Rest is not one of those things that you can get by in life without it. Life isn't really life unless we learn how to access rest. Now, we could talk about rest on lots of levels, but today we're talking particularly about the way that Jesus refreshes. Remember from the scripture, what is it that he gives rest to? What does he give rest to?
A soul.
A soul.
Your eyes.
That's, we could get rest from in our bodies, from carrying water or food, but if we don't get rest for the soul, then what happens? Actually, let me ask you. What happens? Let's say we get physical rest. We lie on the sofa. We get some of those things. We get onto the beach and we get that, but we don't get rest in the soul. What happens to us? We feel restless. Well, that is literally feel restless. Listen, your garden.
But because I was just going to say, you just had that anxiety.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
Bruce.
Trouble.
Oh, sorry. Troubled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say stress, anxiety.
Stressed, anxiety.
Problems.
Yeah. Okay. What happens to our souls? What else?
We get very annoying.
Penny's saying, for the record, she's saying, it's very annoying. I can't possibly comment on that at all. I get short-tempered.
Yeah.
That's what I get short-tempered. That's what happens if I get impatient. Yeah, Dan.
I think for me, I feel discontented.
Discontented.
Disconnected, discontented.
Yeah, discontented somewhere.
Not quite anxious feeling, but it's an unholy feeling.
Unholy.
Not me. I'm not fully.
Not really fully me yourself. Yeah. I'm just repeating all this for the people online. Lisa.
Unsettled.
Unsettled. David.
The fashionable.
The rest.
What my being doesn't.
The rest of your being doesn't function properly. Yes.
And you feel heavy all the time.
Feel heavy.
You feel heavy in your body.
Feel heavy. There's something physical almost, isn't there, in us? Yeah, was it Maggie?
I was going to say that I don't sleep as well.
Don't sleep?
It's just a jittery.
In fact, a lack of rest in the soul affects the rest of us and the rest in or not in the rest of us, of our bodies and our mind and our spirit or whatever it is exactly that is us. Yeah, Joe.
Like a cracked, valuable vase.
A cracked, valuable vase. It's valuable, but cracked. Fragile, maybe you could say, as a result, right? I think a lot of us feel fragile when we don't have that peace or rest in our soul. The rest, there is rest available in this world. I mean, there are nice locations and experiences of rest. like on the beach, like on the sofa. I mean, they're legitimate and wonderful. Nothing wrong with those. We should enjoy those. God gave them to us. But the thing about them is that they are temporary. They don't last. I mean, you can't stay on the sofa for the whole of the rest of your life, right? Or on the beach even, or, I mean, that doesn't work. It's temporary. It's not eternal rest. It's not a lasting, enduring rest. And also that kind of rest is circumstantial. It depends on what's happening. Some of which you may be able to control, like which television channel to watch, but some things you cannot control in your circumstances. And that rest is also not really personal. It's a thing that's giving you rest rather than a person. And what Jesus uniquely gives us is a relationship rest, which we'll talk a bit more about in a minute. But I got another question for you, because we can look at those things like the beach and the sofa and the whatever. But then again, I mean, here we are in a gathering of people here to worship God. There's also a kind of religious rest or Christian type rest or a churchified kind of rest that also isn't really fully satisfying. I don't want to spend too long on this, but I just want to explore it for a minute, because we can sometimes get the wrong idea about what Jesus offers. And we think he's offering us religion or a set of rules, but he's actually offering us something very different. He accused the religious leaders of his day with this. He said this more than once. "Woe to you lawyers," he said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "you load people with burdens hard to bear. And you yourselves do not lift a finger to ease them." So these are the religious leaders of the day who were supposed to be people teaching people with their burdens, how to take them to God and how God could help them with that. But he said, you religious leaders, what you're doing is you're actually making people's burdens worse. You're loading burden. I mean, Jesus said, I'll take the burden. I mean, I'll share the yoke with you, right? We'll work together on this. I'll give you rest. And what they're giving is burdens. So let me ask you, in what way can Christianity even be kind of twisted or deformed or misshapen in ways that actually increase our burdens rather than decrease? What sort of things are problematic in the way we might think about Christianity or about Jesus or about God or about God's word that actually can make our burdens heavier rather than lighter? What do you think? What sort of things? In what way? Yeah.
Perceived expectation.
Perceived expectations
of other Christians within his church.
Of other Christians.
Or not.
Any.
Delivery.
So we're not good enough? All right. The idea that we aren't a good enough Christian, or other people might think that we should be doing better and doing more, and okay, that can be a burden. Am I right? Yeah. What else, Bruce?
Thinking for myself, I think I came with it toward rules and regulations which are culturally on myself and expected also of others, which are not biblical. As therefore, it's a man-made system of traditions, Christian tradition,
right,
that if I don't follow it, then I do part of myself. Then it's my day. That's what I got in France. So I've got to go and watch that new self. That will like our standards, to tell man-made
traditions. Man-made standards, traditions, cultural things that aren't directly commands or things that Jesus said. They can be helpful in certain circumstances, but when we turn them into rules, then it becomes burdensome. True. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
Also, we are called to love people and accept them in the state where they are, because Jesus comes in life. So that's what we should reflect as well. And then we do things out of love, then we can be gentle.
When we're not doing things out of love, then it becomes burdensome. And when we don't accept one another, Jesus said, come as you are. And when we judge, that puts burdens on people. Okay. Good. Any other ideas?
Yeah.
Judge no one.
Judge no one? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It's easy to make something even as life-giving as the gospel into a tick-box exercise. One of the biggest challenges is that we turn Christianity into a checklist. And take the focus away from Jesus himself. Anything that makes it harder to see Jesus is going to be a burden.
Right.
So the checklist. And different people will have a different checklist, and different Christian traditions will have different checklists as to what you really have to do to be considered a faithful Christian. And different traditions have, I'm not going to go through all those now because it doesn't really matter actually what they are. It's more about for us to recognize whether we are living as Christians within a relationship with Jesus, as opposed to a form of a relationship with Jesus, which is basically ticking things off our list, whether it's regular prayer times or Bible study or turning up at church events or whatever. You know, it doesn't really matter what it is. It's more whether we are finding ourselves connected with Jesus during the week or connected with church Christian activity. And Christian activity is a good thing. It says about Jesus in Acts chapter 10, I think it is, that he went around doing good. I mean, it's good to go around doing good. It's good to serve. It's good to love people. It's good to be doing things. These things are expressions, hopefully, of our relationship with Jesus, but they must never get in the way of our relationship with him and obscure him. He's offering us a rest that is his rest that he's willing to give us. And this is a divine role, a divine task that he's giving us here. He's actually kind of subtly claiming deity by saying this, which is an interesting thing. People say, did Jesus really claim to be God? Well, he's kind of saying it here because you may not know, but in Exodus 33, this is what God says to the Israelites. He says, my presence will go with you as they go through the desert towards the promised land. They go coming out of Egypt. My presence will go with you. I will give you rest. And now, all these years later, Jesus is turning up and saying, I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. He's giving us something only God can give us. It's extraordinary. It's a rest that is personal. I will go with you. I am with you. Jesus said, abide in me. I am with you always to the very end of the age. I, Jesus, is with us. It's personal. It's ongoing. He travels with us. I will be with you to the end of the age. I will be. It's a healing rest because it heals us from our wounds, the wounds of sin and the challenges of this world. It's a healing rest because it forgives us for our sins. It's an eternal rest because it begins now but lasts forever. It doesn't end with death. If we're with Christ, because his rest continues, therefore our rest in him will continue beyond death. And one of the great things about having this personal relationship with Jesus and having his rest for ourselves is that it means that we need have no fear about what happens in this life. This world has trouble, but we don't have to give in to fear. Yesterday, I was down in Kent where part of my family live down near Ashford. And that's my sister there. It's her birthday. It's her birthday next week, but we were celebrating yesterday. And she's an amazing woman, my sister. Quite glamorous, as you can see there. Clearly, God gave all the glamour to only one of us in my family, and it was my sister, clearly. But we had a wonderful birthday. It was her. Well, I won't tell you how old she is, but I'm nearly 64, and she's a bit younger than me. But I'm not going to tell you her age because you shouldn't do that, right? So she's 40. Anyway, it was one with a zero on the end, so it was a big birthday to celebrate. So we went down to celebrate, and we actually had a fabulous time, lovely meal together, and had just a great family time with my sister, her husband, her daughter's husband, grandchildren, you know, my dad, It was a good sign. But because while I'm down in Canada, the thing about the, let me go back a bit. So the thing about this weekend was it was bitter and sweet, or it was really joyful and celebratory, and it was really sobering and just moving in my own heart, because celebrating my sister's birthday celebrations yesterday, fantastic, but on Wednesday was the anniversary of my mum's death. So it was 4 years ago this week that my mother died. And of course, she lived down there and died down there. And she's buried there in the churchyard. And so I spent some time at the grave on the day before the birthday celebrations for my sister. And I went up to the graveyard. And as I do, as often as I'm able, I pop up there and I pray. And I thank God for my mother and all the wonderful things that I have as gifts from her that I'm so grateful for. In particular, this time, what I felt led to thank God for was the two gifts of music and faith, because those are two things that my mother nurtured in me. She nurtured my faith in God, and she nurtured my love of music. And both of those things have been a great blessing to me in lots of ways in my life and continue to be. So I thank God for that. But also, I don't know how you feel about this kind of thing. You'll have to take this any way you wish. But I also go to have a chat with my mother, and we have a conversation. And I always talk to her about how life is and what's going on. And I always ask her questions, because I find that my mother is a great repository of wisdom. And I still get wisdom from her. And so I go and have a chat, and I say, she'll ask me in my mind, she'll ask me questions like, how's Lydia? How are you doing being a dad to Lydia? How's Fred? How you been? You know, how's Penny? Have you been a good husband? You know, she kind of checks up on me. And I'll ask her questions like, how's my dad doing? How am I doing supporting dad? What do you think? How do you think dad's doing? And then she'll give me some advice. And then this time I asked her that. I said, how's my dad doing? And she said, he's fine. How are you? That's what came out. How are you? How are you doing? And I've walked around the graveyard praying and thinking, do I have the rest that I need? That's what I thought about. Do I really have that? Do I sense that? Do I experience? Am I living in the rest that Jesus provides by his presence? Am I experiencing that? Is it mine? Because this year for me so far has been a real roller coaster. I felt really some wonderful times with God this year, and I really felt God's presence. And there are other times I've been really quite anxious. And going to the grace side was a great help for lots of reasons. And one is to remember that I don't need to fear whatever happens, because I'm going to end up at some point in the same situation in a way, right? I'm not going to be here forever. None of us are. But if I have Jesus, if I have his rest, I don't need to fear what comes next. It's a great help to be sobered, to remember that I'm not as important as I sometimes think I am, and I'm more important sometimes than I think I am, because God loves me, and it's okay. He's with me. I have him. I have Christ's rest. Can I just enjoy it? So let me wrap up and with a couple of thoughts, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. I think we need to ask ourselves, how do we make sure we find the rest that Jesus offers, the healing, ongoing, present rest connection with Jesus? And the first thing is we need to come to him, right? That he says, first of all, come to me. And I think it's the only time in the Gospels he actually says that. The rest of the time, people come to him, and then he says to them, follow me, but they come to him already. But here, he's saying, no, come to me. But we need to come. We need to actively move. We need to say, Jesus, I want to know you. That starts the relationship, really. He's available, but we need to come to him, spend time with him, be curious about Jesus. And then listen to him. And then he says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. So we need to pick up his yoke. And what is that? I think this is a mixture of what we call discipleship and repentance. It's to come to him is to say, I think you're worth following. To take up his yoke, you know, with the yoke, we're yoked with him. I think it's too, he's, I think two things are happening here with the yoke. One thing that's happening is he's saying, you've got some burdens, I want to help you carry them in this life, right? So you're not going to carry this stuff on your own. That's one thing he's saying. But I think the other is, he's saying, let me be the lead oxen in, or whatever, you know, whatever the animal is. Let me be the lead one to guide you, which means going his way, not our way. And that's a discipleship thing. That's a lordship thing. Okay, you are my Lord, I'm going to follow. And it's a repentance thing because it's like, I would prefer this road or this field to plow, but you want me to plow this one. But that, okay, so I'll go. It's a turning. It's a surrender. So I think for this to become a reality in our lives, to have his rest requires a submission to his lordship, an acceptance of his direction, a repentance, a turning, letting him show us the way. And then a life lived with him. Do you want this rest? Do you want to not just know about it, but do you want to experience it? I want to go back to the, let's just go back to scripture one more time. The rest is Jesus. Come to me. And this includes every person in this room. Come, he says. Everybody online. He says, come. Come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. He's generous. He's not going to hold it back. He's going to give it to you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I've got a better way. You're going to learn a better way to live, a better way for your soul. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble. I'm not going to do you any harm. I have your best interests at heart. I am gentle and humble in heart, you will find rest. If you trust me, you will find rest. Rest for not just your body, not just your head, not just your legs, but your soul. My yoke is easy. It fits well, is another translation. It fits well. It'll fit you. My yoke will fit you. And my burden is light. I'm carrying it with you because it's light. That's the promise. Would you like that? I think you would. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. But are you experiencing it? Is another question. And I hope and pray that as we take bread and wine representing the body and blood of Christ, well, that will convince us that Jesus is on our side. He's for us because he gave himself so we could have this. This wasn't just a simple transactional thing. This was something that cost him everything so that we could experience his rest. Pen's going to come up and pray for us before we take bread and wine.
Jesus.
Heavenly Father, how are we doing? How are we doing as we sit here and we think about our day, our week, the week that's gone, the week that's coming? How are we doing at entering your rest? Thank you for being with us in our this church in West Watford. How are we doing? How am I doing? Lord, we thank you that you are able to give us rest. Yeah. We don't fully understand it. Help us understand it. Help us experience your rest now, today, in our lives, in our fellowship, in our families. Thank you that you take our burdens. Thank you that you took on the burden of my sin, our sin. Thank you that what you did for us on the cross makes it possible for me to stand tall in your presence and claim your rest. Thank you for the bread and wine, simple tokens that remind us what we have in you, that rest that you open the door for us to partake. Amen.